Radio is mainly an opinion paranormal talk show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Pirate Investigators Radio.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Alrighty, welcome everyone to PIR Radio tonight live on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. We also stream to the People's Paranormal Radio Network live over there. Welcome everyone over there listening to the show. And don't forget, you can catch PIR on PRO on there's three new apps, Upsnap, StreamFinder, and I can't think of the other one. I think it's Radio Time. If you want to listen to PIR while you're on the road with your iPhone or Droid phone, check out those apps. You can listen to us live. We'd love you to. As always, don't forget, check out our website, www.pirradio.com. Lots of upcoming information with shows, podcast information. There's a forum. Catch us live on Pro or PPRN. There's news, a whole bunch of stuff. So check it out when you get a chance, and we'd love to hear back from you. As always, I have my host with me from, not from Philly, not in Philly today, but in Atlantic City, so it must be rainy there.
It's always lucky in Atlantic City.
Not what you said. Not what you said, though.
Unless you're Bill Horton.
It's taken all your money, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll have to ask our guest when we bring him on to give me a psychic lucky reading in Atlantic City. Hopefully he knows what Atlantic City is. Anyway, yeah, nothing too exciting here in Atlantic City. I did come down for my birthday, but they always send me these free rooms since we're so close, and I love to gamble. And I have never taken him up on it, so I did.
Awesome.
But my birthday's on Saturday, so everyone donate to PIR Radio to cover my gambling losses.
And what's your game of choice?
I was playing slots. I played a little bit of three-card poker, lost quite a bit of money there, so then I went back to slots, so then I just had to just go and have a drink. Because I'm here for 3 days, and I spent enough for 3 days already.
In the first hour.
No, not quite. I did pace myself. I did try to take a nap, and I did go to the buffet, and I did have some snacks. So, you know, it's kind of hard.
The all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, it was busy, too, so it was very crowded. But on the paranormal side, the bad case manager did get another case via email from Lori today. I didn't call them because it was in Lake City, but I will call them tomorrow and see if we can't get to it. It didn't seem like a really haunting, but more of a curiosity haunting, like there's something happening.
Nice.
So that'll be interesting, you know.
Yeah, I've posted numerous messages on Facebook, but I guess there's no teams in where I'm at looking for new members. I'll keep trying again, though.
I'm sure there. You know, you should. Why don't you hook up with Ron Reeder? He's right. I mean, how far of a drive is Ron Reeder from you?
10 minutes. I mean, we'll do our little own, cemeteries and stuff. I know that.
No, but he's probably got groups. He probably knows all the groups. Why don't you contact Ron Reeder, and say, Ron, I need to find a group near us, and I bet you he has them all.
Well,
I've
gone through Google and all that and Facebook.
Ron Reeder, listen to the master here in Atlantic City.
I will listen to the master.
All right, don't make me do your dirty work.
Okay.
Anyway, outside of that, I did have a drink, so it's going to be a fun show.
Uh-oh, do I have to have the beep button ready?
Well, you're always late on the beep button anyway, so
that's
it doesn't matter.
Because I suck at the beep button. but we do have a great guest with us. And
I'm excited for our guest.
I know, yeah. And I have to give a huge shout-out to him because it's late where he's at. Mm. We really appreciate him spending an hour with us, and hopefully he'll get a great paranormal radio experience with PIR Radio.
Oh, Kurt, I do have to say one thing about this hotel room at Bally's here in Atlantic City. There's no pen and paper in the room. It's very odd.
But I'm sure there's a Bible in it.
And there's a Bible. You know, that was my. That was like, this is kind of crazy. So I think I'm going to steal the Bible. But
oh, great! You're on live radio, and you're saying you're going to steal.
Wait, is that a mortal sin to steal a Bible from a casino?
I think a lot of people do it.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think you're the only one. I think they got like a lifetime supply.
All right. I collect Bibles, but I only want old Bibles. But anyway, let's get our guest on because I'm really excited, and I know he's probably fallen asleep since we talked about nothing.
Yeah, without further delay, we have our guest live from England tonight. It's James Kemp, and he's a medium. How's it going, James?
Okay, thanks.
We really appreciate you. I have to ask, what time is it over there? Is it like 1 in the morning?
It's actually 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, ow. Ow. So, that's kind of late. Hopefully you don't have to work in the morning.
I've got work at 8 o'clock.
So. Oh, man. What a trooper. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we really...
That's okay.
So, James, I have to ask you a question before we get into all the details, get the BS out. Do you know about Atlantic City here in New Jersey, in the States?
I must admit, I haven't got a clue of it.
It's the Las Vegas on the East Coast, or the wannabe Las Vegas on the East. Yeah, so it's a little casino resort, sort of on the ocean, on the waterfront here. So, all right, Kurt, now it's all yours.
All righty. So, real quick, James, before we always get started, and we always do this at the beginning and the end of the show, do you have any websites that you can let the folks listening live or via the podcast, websites and Facebook or MySpace or anything where they can check you out at?
On Facebook, I do have a group. It's called James Kemp Medium. And also, I do have a website as well, supernatural-tools.co.uk.
Awesome. Now let's get some... can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yeah, sure. My first paranormal experience actually happened when I was 6 years old. And, of course, growing up, I had different bits and pieces around me. And when I was a teenager, I found a local paranormal group. And I went from there. And then I went on a pathway to become a medium. And I've investigated many places in the UK. Lucky enough, did actually do a year and a half long investigation at Wimmer Manor in Portsmouth. And back, when was it, this month as well, I did actually do a ghost hunt in Florida as well.
So you've been to the States for an investigation?
Yep.
Now, in regards to, you are a medium, is that correct?
Yep.
Now, how did you know, when you were growing up, how did you realize that you had this gift as being a medium?
I must admit, when I was growing up, I didn't actually realize it. To me, it was almost like general things going on, and I'll just put it down to something else. It's only when I started training as a medium, I looked back on my life and I thought, oh my God, different things that went on. I could explain it now and know why it happened.
Do you think, you mentioned that you were trained to be a medium, and you realize as you were growing up some instances. Can anyone actually become a medium? Is it just a matter of how they open themselves? Can anybody be trained to open themselves up to have the gift what you have?
I must admit, my personal view is everyone has got it. Some people may got it, well, more than others, but I believe it's the same as anything. If you train and learn how to do it, you can go quite far with anything.
Hey James, with your group here, are you the only psychic medium
I am actually training up two others as well, and there is a few other people that work with us.
And so you have the whole gamut of the people, one that likes to maybe videotape or audio, or do you do any of that stuff too?
Yeah, I have also done pilot shows, with David Rouse and Richard Felix, or like ITV and Living TV.
What is it, ITV and what?
It's just TV stations in the UK.
Oh, I see, yeah. Oh, wow, so you're a celebrity, huh?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. So, So I'll give you a little preference on how we do. My group here in Philadelphia, or, you know, remote from Philly in Atlantic City now, prefer not to know a lot about the location, especially if it's a private home. What is it called, Kurt? The case management. So I'll call them and I'll try to, you know, stop them. Once I get enough information to know they're not, you know, bullshitting us pretty much, and then I'll move forward with it. But then, so I'll do the case management, and then we try not to find out too much, and we try to let psychics go wherever they want and, you know, use them as our guide, you know. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
How,
you know. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know how you're...
How we normally do it, if it's a professional place and it's a professional investigation, is we would have a historian that would have all the names and research on her, and she would keep hold of that. And then what we would do is the power psychologist would walk around, take the different temperatures, search for EMF, and after that, we would have a group of mediums that would walk around separate on video camera, see what they would pick up. Then, of course, with the video evidence, we would go through it and see if any of the mediums' information matched up with the other mediums. And, of course, during the investigation, then we would see what would come through and what would happen then. But, of course, something I like to do in my group, I work very closely with a colleague of mine, Andrew House, and he's a power psychologist. And regularly, even though we both do it because we both enjoy it, I've got a mediumship view, and he's got power psychologist view. So on many of the investigations, we have this friendly debate, and I'll put it to him, this is what I'm getting, this is what people's picking up, how would you explain that in power psychology terms?
No, oh, wow, that's interesting.
That is very interesting.
So I want to clarify something. Now, we used to do this and I think you said this, but you could clarify for me. So you send each psychic in one at a time to walk the place and come back out, and then they all go in later? Or
what we have done before is we have five psychics, and we had a camera person. And what the psychic would do is walk around with a camera person, so therefore everything they picked up would be on camera, and then the second psychic would go in, third psychic, fourth and fifth, all separate, so of course...
All separate, right, yeah.
Yeah, because
you know, it's just great, because that's what we used to do when we had four psychics, and you kind of could compare the notes, and you know, and interestingly enough, everyone's going to say, oh, they're all going to get the same thing or not, but sometimes they don't. Like, this one lady, this one place, she kept picking up American Indians, and then the other one was picking up, like, battleships or something from... Civil War, but it all made sense to the homeowner, but they were all picking up on different time periods, you know, because he knew the history of the homeowner at the end.
It's like a interesting experiment that I did do, and it was with general members of the public that came on a ghost hunt. There was about 20 people. I guided them through a psychic or mediumship exercise, and out of those 20 people, about 12 people all picked up the same name. So, of course, then I take it to Andrew, the power psychologist, and say, how do you explain that?
I'm sorry, I was reading what Kurt was writing, but so the psychologist, when he's presented with these people coming out at different times, he could just as well say, well, the cameraman told him.
He could well do, but then again, I suppose... If he came out with that, I could always say, we'll swap people over, and a different cameraman will go with him.
Right, and you know what would be the difference for us, too, and probably for you just as well, if it was a business or a private home, there would be a key person also going in at the same time that has no relationship to your group, but also has a relationship maybe to the location. So
yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's the difference that keeps that's the person that comes out and says, "Oh wow, holy shit," you know, type thing. Oh, there you go.
I'm a little
nice
late.
Job, Kurt. Nice job.
No, that's interesting because you know what I'm getting out. You know, and you know, I think I've you know, with all my reading and talking to everyone, you know, it can, you know, we've had quite a few guests on from the UK. We've had the Hellfire team on. We had Tim Jones on quite a ways back. But it seems like, and this is just my opinion, doing an investigation over in Europe, it seems it's more acceptable to have the psychic or medium along with the scientific team, the parapsychologists, compared to here, whether you have a group that's just strictly scientific or a group that's strictly, you know, with the medium and psychic. I think it's more accepted over there, but I think it's growing over here more and more, though, as people, you know, get their, they realize that they have the gift of, you know, of being a psychic and medium.
But, Kurt, I'm going to argue with you, and not argue, but sort of enforce, shore up that argument and say, yes, of course, because we have all, you know, most of our shows are, most people watch, your buddies,
Ghost Hunters. And Ghost Adventurers.
Not Ghost Adventurers, Ghost Hunters, but Ghost Hunters doesn't use psychics and they don't like them. So I think Ghost Adventures, the guy claims to be psychic and all this good stuff. So I think that helps us, you know, and I don't know if James has that issue too, where it's more acceptable to be psychic or not.
I would say, in my own personal view, is I would say when people come along as a customer on the ghost hunt, they do expect a medium to be there, because most of the people shoot in the UK, if something happens or if something goes wrong, they rely on a medium to sort it out. But of course, they also want to know the scientific side of things.
So they get right. both perspectives.
Yeah.
Now I know. Talking about, you know, when you're on investigations and all that. I know you guys do EVP and all that, but of all the investigations, I know you've been on quite a few, probably. Unlike myself, I haven't been on in 2 years because I've just had my first daughter and I'm jonesing one so bad. With all the investigations, what was your most memorable experience where you had actually experienced something paranormal in an investigation? Or you can even say, you know, what was the most...
I would actually say there's quite a few things I can remember. One of them is when I was actually living in a place, because I was actually a caretaker for Wimmer Manor, and every night at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we would be woken up with noises downstairs, and one of the nights the alarm system went off and said intruder downstairs. So of course we went down there, checked, no one down there, went back up, set the alarm, and Flint said intruder on the balcony. But that was interesting. But other time would be at Buckingham House in Old Portsmouth. There was about 10 of us doing a seance around a table that takes about 6 people a lift, because it's heavy oak. And all of a sudden, well, we was doing it for about an hour and a half. You even had one person that fell asleep doing it. And all of a sudden, the table just dropped. So, of course, everyone around this table was like, how can a table just drop? Because no one actually felt it lifting up or anything else. And with that, the table lifted up and dropped down quite a few more times more. And I must admit, a few members of the group, 20 minutes into it, had to leave and sat over for the other side. People that was left around the table, we carried on, and it actually got to a point where a table more or less did float in the air. I must admit, it's one of those things you had to be there to actually believe it. And you even had people putting their hands under the table legs,
wow,
making sure no one was pushing it. And something for me I can remember is I was looking around at the time, and I could see these black figures walking past. I must admit, at the time, I did get a tiny bit scared, because as these black figures walked around the table, so they walked behind me, I could feel floorboards going up and down underneath my chair. But
did your natural EMF detector go off, where your hair on the back of your neck starts to stand up, or you get the goosebumps?
I must admit that only bit of equipment we were using during that seance was a dictaphone, EVP. But it was just interesting.
Now,
you know, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I saw this documentary. I watched a lot of documentaries when I first started getting into this 8 years ago, and this one was quite interesting. They were doing a seance, and they were trying to release a spirit, into the light or into, you know.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, of course, there was camera people. I do the camera work also in my group, so that's why whenever I hear camera, it interests me. But so there's camera people or just people outside of the circle, and these people inside, the people outside could see and hear what these people were saying, but they couldn't experience what was going on. And what was happening in this documentary was that the wall kind of lit up or opened up into a bright light, and they saw these light things. You know, things were happening, like incredible light show, you know, thing was moving to the heaven or whatever.
Yeah.
But the people on the outside could hear these people and see these people looking, but couldn't see, they didn't experience any of the paranormal stuff that was happening with this release, the spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever, if that's something that, if that happened that night with the table. I mean, well, if the table lifted, I'm sure the camera guy would see it, but.
At the time, I think, when we started off, the only person that was actually sitting out of the circle, he was sitting in a corner playing a didgeridoo, believe it or not.
A who?
A didgeridoo.
Oh, I love it's that just... instrument.
Oh, it's an instrument. Okay.
Isn't it an Australian instrument?
Yeah.
Kurt, you're so well-rounded, I tell you.
You've never heard one? It's,
no.
I guess it's a bad example, but Crocodile Dundee movies?
Oh, the rain? Is it the rain tube? The big tube?
I don't know.
Has like needles in it that falls down? Never mind. All right, let's move. Let's let James continue.
Sorry about that, James.
That's okay. But that was the only person sitting outside of the seance at the time. But, of course, he saw everything what was going on and everything else.
Right. Wow. Well, I always try to figure out how... I used to carry so much camera gear, it was crazy. But I wanted to have a camera recording in the room before we went in and try to have a camera when we're packing up. And I used to have all these cameras, these little Hi8 cameras, and... Oh, it was horrible. So I never, you know, we caught one little thing. Oh, well, we caught a couple things, but nothing major. And it's so hard. And I don't know how if you guys over there had any better luck since you're so psychic heavy.
I suppose on camera, I must admit, I am a big believer. Not a lot happens on camera. I believe more happens when you've got them turned off. But
yeah, right.
I think that's the truth, though. Believe it or not, because. Well, every time you talk to so many investigators, whether it's here in the States or across the pond, they always say they experience stuff and they don't have the camera on or the recorder.
I know that's
on.
That's why I always had all these cameras running, and you know, of course, nothing happened. Like I would want to get I wanted to carry around a camera as I'm setting up and then set up cameras inside the rooms before we went into the rooms. So we ended up with all this footage, you know, that I just couldn't watch. But and you know, so it's kind of like you, Kurt, but. So, yeah, so, James, it's interesting that you say that, yes. It's very hard to get something on camera that truly looks paranormal.
Yeah.
Do you have much luck with, do you guys do, I guess you do stills and audio?
Only thing we do with audio is EVP, and, of course, on the EVP, we've picked different bits up, and whatever. Only thing that's interesting with it, we let a few different people listen to it of the public, and we'll see what they think it is saying. And it's surprising enough how many different views it will have and what a couple words are actually saying. If that made any sense.
Now, with all the audio that you've heard and all that, do you have a favorite EVP that you yourself has personally captured?
I'm trying to work out. What? I wouldn't say I've got a favorite one. There's a couple that interest me, but I've always got my doubts about it. because I know if there's been a few people in the room and whatever, but I suppose only one I can think of that comes to mind, and that is I was in a theatre and was asking out a couple of questions, and only thing we heard is, well, someone asked a question, how old are you? And they replied one, or just one, and that was it. No other questions answered or anything else. But something with doing that at a moment with a dictaphone is placing it on a sponge, so therefore you've got less vibrational noise.
That is... you said a sponge?
Yep.
I've never even heard of... I would never have thought of that.
Mm, it's just a simple thing. I must admit, it might look daft having a sponge in a kit boxes, but just by putting it under a dictaphone, it, you know, doesn't pick up so much vibrational noise as it would do as just leaving it on the floor or on the table.
So it makes a lot of sense to me. Definitely. It's sort of like what somebody would do in a recording studio. They have sponges or foam on the wall,
yeah,
so that the sound isn't vibrating back or reverbing. So you even that's a great idea, actually.
I've never heard that. I'm gonna. Is it okay if I try that out?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I would never. In a thousand years, I would never have thought of a sponge on a recorder. That's very interesting.
And I bet you get rid of a lot of that hollow and echoey sort of bouncing sounds, like, because, you know, like the tunnels, and I bet you a lot of that background noise is
filtered out.
Filtered out, sort of, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe, you know, to all our podcast listeners out there, if you have tried this before, we'd like to hear. You know, I want I've never heard that. That's interesting, though. And you know, I'm definitely gonna try that out. We learn new stuff. You know, even myself. You know, there's so much information out there to learn in regards to the paranormal. I mean, it's great. You know, when we get to talk to everyone. You know, that's what I like about the show. That's awesome. I'm enthralled about that. But, you know, and we're gonna Hey James, can you hang on a second?
Yeah, sure.
And we're gonna take a real quick about 2.5 minute break. Play a couple sponsor ads, and we'll get back with you. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hang on 1 second. All right, folks, you're listening to PIR Radio Night Live on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. Our guest tonight is James Kemp. He's a medium out of the UK. We really appreciate him, staying up late for us and spending an hour with us getting a paranormal radio experience. But when you get a chance, please visit his website. It's www.supernatural-tours.co.uk. And we'll be right back after these messages.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Show host, your podcast not getting enough hits, and you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online, helping to bring you the best paranormal experience. Check out Pro today by going to ParanormalRadioOnline.com for showtimes and a chat area to chat with other paranormal listeners. While there, check out the Encore shows where you can listen to many different shows and hosts and their podcasts that you may have missed during the week. Check out live shows and special broadcast shows that are live on location with special events. All of this and so much more can be found on ParanormalRadioOnline.com. It's about the paranormal, and it's all here for you. Once again, Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online. haunted voices.com. Check them out today. And as always, thanks for listening to the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
Thank you for listening. And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on BIR Radio.
As I hit the wrong button coming back, no, that's not the end of the show. We're only halfway through. I apologize about that. But don't forget, you can check out Haunted Voices Radio Network live on the Pro Radio Network at Tuesday through Friday nights. And they do sometimes over the weekend. We'll play their archive streams. So check it out. Tonight's guest is James Kemp, and he's still with us. We have, you know, the Skype gods still love us, so we're going to keep going on. James, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Now, at break, I know before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, with the EVP and, you know, using the technique with the sponge, which is pretty cool, which I'm going to try. And hopefully our listeners out there, if you have any success or if you try with it, let us know how it goes. Now, at break, we were talking about, you know, I call them old school techniques, and you had mentioned... you do a form of seance, which is called the Victorian seance. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you let us know and let our listeners know what's the difference between that seance and a Victorian or a regular seance, and what does it involve?
What I'll do is for a regular seance is it just starts everyone joining hands maybe around the table, and of course there's an opening up process. And then people call out, see what happens, and then there is a closing down process. With a Victorian seance, we do the same thing, but only a couple of things are different. Is sometimes a red light is placed in a seance because Victorians did believe spirits were attracted to red lights, and also they did also believe mirrors were a gateway from this universe to the next universe. So sometimes, if we got a chance, we would use a mirror as well. But the main thing that's a difference is while the seance is being opened up, a person will walk around the seance two times ringing a bell. And of course, the Victorians believed ringing a bell would attract the spirits. And then once a person has walked around two times, they'll place a bell in the middle of the seance.
Did you have more? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, I was just going to say, and then it's just the same principle of calling out and then closing down.
So that's sort of like the ceremony to open up, or is that to show them the bell and to give them the tool to ring? I mean, is that part of it?
People have before asked for spirits to ring for bell, but the main idea is, from what the Victorians believed, is by ringing for bell, it attracts the spirits to the noise.
Well,
it's like when you're doing EVP with the white noise generator.
Yeah, I suppose you could say it's a bit like a singing bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And now have you, I know, when you've done these Victorian seances, I know you ring the bell, you know, to draw the spirit towards you, but have you ever experienced where the bell has actually rang on its own?
I must admit, myself, personally, I haven't.
Now, in regards to your medium, we talked about equipment, and we haven't talked really much about your mediumship.
I must admit, my view of mediumship is I believe a lot of people do mediumship out there, but a lot of people make it complicated. And I must admit, I do guide people through meditation. Unlike others, I don't teach do an hour and a half meditation, because I must admit, if I'd done that myself personally, I'd fall asleep. So all I tell people to do or guide them through it is about 2 minutes or 3 minutes at the most, just a quick meditation just to relax the mind. And I believe that's enough.
Now, talking about meditation, You, here in the States, it seems like that's like one of the main things that a lot of the psychics and mediums use. Do you think it's overused, or do you think it's a tool that actually benefits?
I believe it does benefit, but I don't believe it needs to be complicated. My belief is mediumship is taught natural, so why can't it be a natural process?
Yeah, I agree with you, James. I think I think most times when people know that they have some kind of, well, I think first it's confusion, you know, like they don't realize what's going on, and then if they're young enough that they think everybody has the gift because they don't know better to say anything because you think it's normal, and then when they start to say it, today most parents will say, oh, well, maybe we should find somebody to help mentor you, but I think the gifts, you know, that they have, they can pretty much settle on themselves, you know.
And that brings up a good question, Bill. You know, you talk about children. Do you have, I know here in the States, and this is just a personal from what I see is, you know, children, you know, as they grow up, you know, they say that they see people and they're talking to, you know, their friends. And I think parents rush to judgment and send them off to a psychiatrist because they think they have a psychiatric problem. Over here in the States, I guess they like to prescribe medicine for you know, psychological disorders. But do you see that a lot over in the UK?
I think it's more or less about the same as what it would be in the US. But I know a lot of people come to me and said, oh, their child or children's got imaginary friend. And, of course, my reaction is, well, that could actually be a spirit. It's probably not a spirit there to harm the person. It's probably just a family member or something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were growing up, I know you trained to be a medium. Did you, now that you've gone through all your training, do you remember, you know, having any, you know, as a kid, everyone has a friend as they're growing up that you always hear stories that they were talking to. Did you have anyone that you saw or had a relationship that was on the spirit side?
I must admit, I never had relationship or used to see someone regularly. I used to notice different people around me. For example, when my grand wasn't well in hospital, I can remember saying to my mum, I know my granddad is standing by the bed. And, of course, at the time, well, my mum believed in it a tiny bit and whatever, but there's many times if I look back where I thought I saw like a shadow walk past or different colours and everything else. But of course, especially when I was at school, I told a few people, and I must admit, not everyone had the same view. And of course, that's probably a reason why I left it for a while. But of course, then I found out, you know, you got all these TV programs out there, and I got back into it, and that's when I started realizing everything.
Do you think deja vu, you know, like when you're out and about on the street and you're I'm a people watcher, and it's like,
yeah.
You ever get that instance of, do you think deja vu is a part of being, you know, where you can actually see that, you know, maybe in a prior life, you know, you recognize someone?
I must admit, saying about deja vu, my belief is time doesn't go in the forward line. I believe it only goes late in that so our brains can process it.
It only goes what? I'm sorry? What was that word?
I know it might sound awkward. More or less like time doesn't flow in the same or straight line as what we're led to believe.
Okay.
Only reason being is, for example, you've got a lot of famous mediums out there and that's predicted the future and everything else. But saying about deja vu, there's been a few times where I've had different dreams and whatever, and then it's happened in front of me. But I must admit, it's not like a long dream for like half an hour. It's only been minute, 2 minutes at the most.
So I guess for deja vu, I remember not so long ago, like sitting in somebody's office at work, and somebody I didn't know because she was newly hired, the new human resource director, and I remember sitting there and saying, I've told this story to this woman, or the situation is, I clearly had deja vu, like I knew this happened, And there was no way that I knew it happened because I never met this woman before. And that's deja vu for me. I mean, but you're talking about seeing things maybe in the future or dreaming about things to come.
Or you have like an epiphany where you've had that feeling that you've been there before.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
I guess I want to go back to the seance sort of stuff. And there's you had mentioned red light and mirrors, and I know Lori. And if your belief doesn't match this, please don't feel obligated to be polite. You can correct the situation as you see it. But we were in this fraternity house, and she felt that there was this weird hallway. I mean, it was really weird. It was almost like a servant hallway, but not, you know, and it was just like, why would you have this hallway here? So the kids of this fraternity house, this huge Victorian home, they had placed two mirrors at either end, so the mirrors were actually facing each other. And Lori had said that she felt that was very, bad. It would create a negative energy by having these mirrors face each other, and I don't know if that's something you had heard of.
Well, it has something to do with like feng shui or something, doesn't it?
Is it feng shui?
Where you have to put a mirror in the corner of a building or something. I don't know. We had it at my job when I worked in Atlanta, but I don't understand feng shui or something like that. I guess I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I guess I just didn't know if you had heard anything like that with the energy in the mirror. And then, if not, the next question would be, the tools of tarot cards, but more specifically, the tool of the Ouija board. If you guys had ever used that or believe in that, or
I must admit, I have used the Ouija board before. Only thing we use on investigations is a spirit board, because of course most locations will say in their terms and conditions they don't want Ouija boards used.
Let's be honest. I mean, the Ouija board, I mean, a piece of paper with letters written on it with a shot glass is the same as a spirit board.
My personal belief, and I would say the difference is the Ouija board is supposed to be blessed by the witch or whoever. And, of course, the difference is with Ouija board, if you take it into location or wherever you take it, you're opening up to anything. But fling again, you could say for Ouija board, it was originally made as a child's game.
Sure.
But of course, with letters on a piece of paper or on cardboard, it hasn't been blessed or anything else. And my belief is, you're just speaking to spirits in that location, not from outside of that location.
No, just rent. Yeah, just okay. So the spirit board is officially blessed, or you have it blessed, or is that?
No. The spirit board isn't blessed. It's just a plain, say, cardboard with letters on.
So how do you? I mean, my feeling is that, I guess what I'm saying, James, is the Ouija board, the spirit board, and just writing random words or letters on a board. The tools are all the same tool. It's just interpretation here, you know, of once, you know. I mean, they're just. So you don't feel that these are dangerous?
I must admit, I've met so many people that will say they've been attacked on the ghost tongue and everything else. My personal belief is, if someone comes up to me and says they've just been attacked by a spirit, they've got really bad arm ache, everything else, I will turn around to them and say, have you been attacked by a spirit? Or is a spirit trying to say to you, look, hello, this is me, this is what I died of, I had an arm injury which led to my death, and I just want to show you a bit more about me.
That's interesting, because, you know, my belief, and I know, you know, the psychics that we use, the belief is that, you know, the spirit actually wants to tell you something or finish up something or show you something, and so be it. If it's that, you know, somebody poisoned them or whatever, you know, whatever this or where they've hid the money. I mean, we had this one psychic, God bless her, she was like 63, and she was crawling in this attic in this crawl space because the spirit said it's over there, and she believed him. And, of course, the house has been renovated, and it wasn't there, you know.
Oh, no.
But, good.
No, I was just saying, oh, no, for the lady.
Oh, I know. She was not a, you know, a petite woman either, and she crawled through this little, you know, opening. You open this little hatch, and she was crawling up, and the guy's like, we just renovated this, you know, 8 months ago. And he said, all these walls are new, and there's nothing there. And she's like, oh, no, it's there. I have to go. And, you know, spirit said and convinced this woman, the psychic, that it was there, and she really believed it. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, but the spirit knew the place when it didn't have the new walls and such, and was not lying to her, but that's what, you know, when they knew the place, you know, how it existed back then. I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of thing, James.
Something I would say about a place being renovated, it's like, for example, a lot of people will say they've seen a spirit walking or floating 3 foot high. My argument would be is, how do you know many years ago and that wasn't where the original floor level was?
That's right, yeah.
Of course, if spirits are the same as me and you and everyone out there, we don't float up in the air or anything else, so why would Flo want to do it?
So where do you think these spirits are? And, you know, this is kind of, you know, I kind of lean towards the dimensional phase shifting, or they're trying to come through to the other dimension, but, you know, as opposed to being, I don't know what, but that's my sort of belief, and I don't know where you think these spirits are at and where they come through and how they come through.
I must admit, my personal view would be is most of the spirits on the ghost or at haunted locations, they don't actually know if they're dead, and they're just trying to carry on with their normal daily lives. So, of course, like I said earlier about angry spirits, if a spirit does get threatening, it's the same as us. If we broke into someone's house or someone broke into our house, we would try to get them out. And my view is, we got so many spirits out there, don't even know if they've passed away. They can be, say, I can't think of a word now, but taking them the wrong way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, James, we've got a question from our chat room. This is from Ray. He's from New Mexico, NMRIP. He wants to know, does your medium ability stretch beyond the spiritual realm, i.e. interdimensional, extraterrestrial?
I must admit, my personal view is I've only touched on the spirit realm. I've never gone any further.
Do you now, in regards to that, is it tough to go further with someone that has the abilities? I don't have the abilities, I can tell you that now. I think I block it out for a reason. I don't know why. I haven't discovered it why. But do you think is it extremely tough to get past the spiritual realm, or is it just a matter of, you know, choice?
I wouldn't say it's tough. At the end of the day, my belief is trying to think of the best ways to describe it. The spirit world has almost got like a path planned for each one of us, and I believe if you're supposed to be speaking to the spirit world or different, say, interdimension, you will be, but if you're not supposed to be, you're not going to be.
You know, the one question we should have asked in the beginning, you know, with mediums, is there a specific, you know, type of I guess I can't think of the word right now myself, Father, I'm tired, type of medium, like, you know, over, like they say, clairvoyant, or...
I must admit, I don't like to class myself as a type of medium. I suppose I could say I'm, well, more of a clairvoyant, or I can't think of the other word now.
I can't think of them. There's so many out there, I can't think of them all right now.
I know I did come across a book at one point, and you had over 2,000 different names for different mediums.
Wow.
But I must admit, my personal view is I can't see why you should limit yourself to one thing. Why not just learn all different things at once and then see what's best, and then keep yourself open to it, not close yourself off?
That's true. Hey, I want to ask, James, have you ever done, maybe we can do a little experiment here live if you want to go for it, but have you done telephone readings before, or can you do something like that?
I must admit, I've never done telephone readings.
Oh, okay.
I could try giving it a go and see what happens.
Well, see if you can pick up anything on me or Kurt, and we can see how it goes. And you know, not to put you on the spot at 2 a.m. in London, UK.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay. I'm just trying to see what I can get out of my own.
Sure.
Right. Okay, something I would say, of course, you can correct me if I'm wrong. At the moment, there's something frustrating you that you're going through. It's almost like you know it's in the back of your mind, but you don't want to admit to what it exactly is. But I don't know if you would understand this or not.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm not gonna
say anything over the radio, but I know what he's talking about in regards to myself.
Kurt, isn't this for you, Kurt?
That was for Kurt, or you have one for Kurt?
Okay. No, I was just, I wasn't sure who this is for, but
okay.
I'll carry on anyway, and it's almost like what I'd like to say is there's something from your childhood that keeps on making you want to go back to part of your childhood, and it's almost like saying about a childhood, it's either an old friend is either just going to come into your life, or if they've just having the last few months. But it's almost like I'm being told you worry a lot or about a lot of things, and it's almost like the spirit world is trying to say, you know, look on the bright side of life, because you're always looking for, like, to see if the grass is greener on the other side. But I want to say, if you look around and see what there is now here, you know it's exactly the same. Would you understand this at all?
I do.
Kurt, I'm not going to, you know, James, I'm going to say something to Kurt. But this reminds me of when the two ladies were on and they did a reading, and it was I'd have to go back and listen to it. But it's very similar to what James just said, I believe. They said pretty much the same thing. I'm not sure.
Well, I know what I'm going through. I know, you know, James hit it on the dot, though.
Well, and for me, too, you know, I feel like there's, you know, frustrated at work and such, you know. So, and I think that's pretty much where he was going with that. But so I think you did pretty good, James.
Okay. Now, in regards, you know, Ray has a quick question too. He wants, you know, as you were talking to spirit, he wants to know: do spirits communicate in a specific language? Could it be any language?
I must admit, to me, it's either done through pictures. Sometimes it may be voice. Most of the time, it's just thoughts. I just clear my mind, see what thoughts come into my mind, and then just talk.
I was going to tell you, James, the biggest problem I used to have with these psychics, and I've been dealing with these types for 8 years, 9 years now, and I tell you, these psychics are funny people, and you know, we get in the car, and you know what the first thing they say to me? I was going to say that, but I, you know, they're talking about, you know, pink clouds or something that crazy, and then it turns out that actually would have matched the situation at hand. And they don't say it because they think it's so ridiculous. It's, you know, I see, you know, blue carpet with white stripes or something, you know, something crazy, you know.
I must admit, something I would say late night when I first started training and going on ghost hunts, I was on a ghost hunt at a museum, and I looked up to a team leader, and I said, a spirit is trying to show me white beads. I must admit, he looked around at me and more was like, God, what's he going on about now, sort of thing.
Right, that's right, yeah.
And, of course, what was interesting is the other group, later on that night, someone actually had a white bead thrown at them. So, of course, even though at the time I thought this sounds utterly daft, let's go for it and let's see what happens.
Well, good for you, because you know what? I had this one instance where they were walking. They wanted to go outside this guy's house, and you know, there's a lot of woods and such, and a creek. And Marcy stops at this one little hill, like, you know, and she says something like, "There's something here," and she says, "I don't want to say it." And I said, "Well, say it." And then she said, you know, basically no. And then we went in the house, and the guy says that there was three graves where Marcy was, and she said, "I saw these three deep impressions that were elongated," and she had thought graves in her mind, but she didn't want to say it because she thought she was wrong and thought it was weird that there would be graves next to this guy's house, and she didn't want to say it in front of him. But, you know, not, and I think more not to scare him, but that, you know, because it was so crazy, you know, to have graves next to his house. And in fact, he knows the history that there were, in fact, three graves there, and she was right there saying, you know. So that's the kind of thing we would run into. So we would have to convince them to say these things because, yeah, no matter what, no matter how crazy it is, it's better to be wrong or look a little a fool than to be. Because you can't really place it when you're right. When you're right, it's so much more important.
It's like, for example, normally if I'm doing a public ghost hunt and members of the public's coming along, in a talk at the start, I'll normally say, for example, anything you get, just go for it. Because, for example, say if you get a fork bananas, you're probably going to think to yourself, I'm not going to put my hand out and say, the spirit is showing me bananas. But at the end of the day, could it have been a banana factory? Could they have stored bananas there? Could they have sold bananas there? And before you know it, you can have a story that could actually mean significant to a part of the history of a building.
You're right. And I'm going to tell you another instance. And I told this to Kurt already before. We're in the middle of in the center of Pennsylvania, where there's, you know, there's some rivers or such, but nothing big. But Lori says, and thank God she said it. She says, I see these big ships with the sails, like from the, you know, 1800s or whatever, you know, with the big sails and the wooden ships. She says, doesn't make sense. And at the end, when we talked to the homeowner, he says, well, the guy that lived at, there was a factory where his house was, and he did some kind of glass or something manufacturing, and they would cart him down to the Delaware River by horse and carriage, and he would ship him out to other countries, probably back to England, I would think. But lucky she said that, because, you know, to see ships in the middle of dry land, it's like, come on. But he was showing, this was my business, and this is, you know, so that all made sense. Which was good. So I encourage all you psychics to keep talking.
Yeah, absolutely. But I know it's late, James. Our hour has come and gone. Hopefully you had a fun time. Hopefully you got a paranormal radio experience you won't forget.
Can I ask James two questions before we go, real quick?
Sure.
James, what city are you actually in the UK over there?
I'm actually in Portsmouth.
And where does that come in? How would
it's for south of the UK?
Okay, great. Because I know I said London, and I knew that was incorrect because I've been to London about three times. I just didn't want you to.
I have to ask too. Are you a Pompey fan?
is that soccer?
Yeah.
Oh,
must admit, I'm not a big football fan. I used to be years ago, but believe it or not, most of the time now, I spend my time doing bits on ghost hunts or researching different cases and everything else.
So do you actually charge for a private home investigation?
If it's a home investigation, no. Because I don't, at the end of the day, sometimes people need help and I don't feel you should have to charge for that.
I agree, and we had an instance where the guy said, he had asked me at the end, like we went back and forth trying to set up a date and all this other stuff, and he had asked me if we charge, and I said, no, we don't charge, and he said, oh, good, because the last guy, they went through the same process, and at the end, he says, well, and we'll want to pick up our $850 fee.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to, the last question, I guess, because looking at your picture, you look fairly young, I was wondering how old you were.
I'm actually 24.
Yeah, you are fairly young, yeah?
And I must admit, just quickly, working as a medium, because I'm only 24, people do look at me and think he hasn't got that much experience or anything else. So therefore, I've got to prove myself even more to say, look, this is who I am, this is what I can do, and this is me.
And you do that, I'm sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just such a gratifying feeling when, and I'm not psychic and I'm not a medium, but I know when I watch Lori and Fred and all, and when they say something that's most compelling, you can see the look, not that they smile, but there's sort of like, yeah, you could tell that they know that looking at the homeowner or whoever's receiving the message is amazed.
Something I must admit I do enjoy myself is, of course, I go to these old locations. Some of them look fantastic, but the thing I enjoy the most is actually speaking to the people that used to live there and finding out a bit about their life, what went on, and what they went through. I think
the bad part of it, you mean, or the
good part is actually speaking to the people that used to live there.
No, I meant if there was a bad situation, I kind of lost it on that.
The former homeowners.
Oh, right.
So what was that?
I was trying to...
The former homeowners, he says.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to Bill that you're talking about the people that formerly lived in the house.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I truly enjoyed tonight's
absolutely.
Guest.
Absolutely.
James was awesome.
When you're having fun, time flies, you know.
Yep, that's true.
And I know it's late over there. We really appreciate you spending an hour with us at 2:00 in the morning. I know it's kind of late. We really appreciate that. The podcast will probably be up tonight. I'll get that up tonight. I'll send you a link via Facebook for it. And before we go, as always, we always give the microphone to our guests. If you have any shout-outs and if you can give out your websites again, that'd be awesome before we let you go.
Okay, our website is www.supernatural-tours.co.uk, and also you can find me on Facebook as well. And I'd just like to say thank you to you both for having me.
We actually learned something today too, which I like. I can't wait to try that sponge technique. That's going to be awesome.
You have to let me know how it goes.
Awesome. And hopefully we can have you on in the future again and talk about, you know, some of the investigations you've gone on since you've been on, from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, sure. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, we actually didn't even really ask him about any of the investigations, period, which we usually get into. That's kind of odd, but that's okay.
Usually the first shows, you know, I get to know, you know, and ask, you know, get the basic information, and then
right.
When we have him on again, we really put him on the spot.
That's okay.
But we'll let you go so you can get some sleep. We really appreciate you coming on tonight, and you have a wonderful morning.
Thanks so much,
okay.
James.
Thank you, too.
Have a good night, James. Thank you.
You too.
What a great show. I mean, James is a great person.
Awesome guest. I really, because... Kurt, I'm sorry. You know, I'm all about the psychic end of everything, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll take a room of psychics over a room of ghost hunters any day.
I've never been, you know, I've been around Ron Reeder. He's the only medium psychic that I have ever been around. But it was only for a little bit, so.
Man, you better, he's only down the road from you now. And
I know. We're gonna get the hook up. But Ray, you're right. I have to do shout out to Ray. He is right. James does sound very mature for being 20. I can't believe he's only 24.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised too. I was looking at his pictures, thinking, well, maybe, you know, you can never tell with these you know pictures and how people look. And I thought, well, I better ask him just to see. So.
True. But do you have anything else before we get off the air tonight?
That's it. You know what? I'm gonna actually. My sister's coming down to buy me brunch or something, I think, for my birthday, and then I'm going to actually call these people back on my pseudo-casino vacation for case management. That's it.
There you go, and don't forget to put a dollar in the machine for me.
Oh, man, I'm gonna go play the five-hour machine.
You the man. You know who we have next week?
I don't, actually.
We had Aaron on from Maritime, who is the intuitive for Maritime Paranormal. We had the founder of the group, Justin, on. So we're going to talk to Justin and see what got him into the paranormal and talk about some investigations and why he formed his group.
And maybe we can get him to talk bad about Aaron and the psychics.
You never know.
You never know.
But
all right.
Well, until, you know, we'll see. But everyone have a safe week next week, and until next week, Bill.
Keep it paranormal.
And don't forget, you'll get your paranormal radio experience with PIR Radio live on PRO. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedtube.com.